Well, for 4 weeks now, we've been talking about eternity. So we started off and we talked about heaven for 2 weeks, and then we talked about moms, right, which is close to heaven. I mean, it's really, really good. And then we took a little turn and we talked about hell. And then next week, we have to answer a lot of questions that you guys have texted in. Our three teaching pastors will address those next week. But today, we get to talk about and discuss, so if eternity starts now, or when we die and our lives and we're forever, then what do we live like now in light of that? So a couple different ones in this country. Maybe the prevailing view would be make sure and say some type of little prayer, some little magical prayer, so that you make sure and go up there and then live however you want to. Show up at church every once in a while. Make sure you don't disqualify yourself. And then once you die, you'll go up there and then you can start thinking about heaven. It's not really what the Bible says, but that's what a lot of people in our country would think. You have other people who think about heaven so much that it makes such a drastic turn that that's all they can think of. They sell all they have, and they live in that way, preparing for it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rich Mullins. Was a guy who sang a lot about heaven. A famous Christian singer. Actually got to the point of selling all he had, almost becoming homeless for seasons of his life. One time I read at the Dove Award, so it's kind of like the Grammys, but for Christian artists, and he was there, not really about the limelight, because he was all about giving everything away, and he saw one of the servers at one of the dinners afterwards, just starstruck by all the people who were there, and he just went behind the counter, he took the guy's hat and apron, and he goes, "Hey, you go mingle," and he just simply put his head down and was serving dessert and cleaning tables. None of that mattered to him at all. So you have one way of just think about heaven when you get there. If you get there, you have other people who they make every bit of changes in their life. What does the Bible ask of us? Does it give us any direction? And so today, I'm just going to say this. This is one of these that's really, really hard. This isn't one to say, hey, look at our life and us, and we'll tell you. Like, this is one we struggle with that you probably struggle with as well. So what I'm planning on doing today is I believe in the power of God's word and his spirit. So we're going to read four different verses or passages of scripture. We're going to talk about a couple things that they would imply of our lives. And then we're going to take these from here and just see what the Lord would teach us in that. Is that okay with you guys? All right. And so from our oldest people here to our youngest, I know we have our young ones here, elementary here today. We are so glad you guys are here. And we hope that you would get things out of this today. So the very first one is this. We have four reminders and commands in light of eternity. If you have your notes, number one is this: we are not home yet. We are not home yet. And so before we do the verses or anything else, I just want to, let's think about that for a moment. This earth, and this is where we are here, it's not our home. So let's just say, I was thinking about this today, let's say that our air conditioner went out of our house, and sometimes kind of how it feels like here, it gets a little warm, and let's just say we couldn't live at our house because it was August, and some of you in your hospitality were like, hey, just the Caldwells, we got an extra room, just come over, you guys spend the night here, and so we would do the same for you guys. So we're over at your house for a night, and maybe the night, the morning of, after that, you like knock on the door to say, hey, coffee's ready, and all of a sudden, when you come knock on the door, all of a sudden, you're hearing like banging, you're hearing things broken down, you're hearing walls just going crazy, and you walk in, and I have a foreman hat on. I have floor plans, right? The wall between the bathroom and the bedroom is gone, right? And I'm like, man, it's just too small. I'm going to renovate this bad boy. And number one, I'm not all that handy, so I would never do that. Number two, I wouldn't because it's not my house, right? I'm not going to mess with your home. In the same way, to get to Midtown over the last 2 months, we moved twice in a month. So when we were at a rental house, we had boxes everywhere, right? And so when we needed spices for cooking, when you need things when it gets a little cooler, finding a jacket. I mean, if you're only there a month, like, we just lived, like, with no permanence, right? We were just like, we're just here for a month. We didn't do any renovations. We didn't do any investment in the property, right? Because we were just there temporarily. We almost lived that month with a little bit of an unsettled feeling, right? Because none of it was lasting. We knew in 1 month we would be out. Let me just read you this verse that talks about our home. It says, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come." Do you hear that? Here we have no lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come. Listen, this isn't our home. Like, this is a really, really, really short amount of time before we spend forever in eternity. And for the the writers in the New Testament, they said, this isn't home. Like, and just like I felt unsettled and we didn't make too many investments in there, right? Because we were just there temporarily. That's how we're supposed to live this life here on this earth. Philippians 3:20 also says, but our citizenship, or our home, is in heaven, and we await a Savior, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The principle here is we must remind ourselves often that this is not our home. Would you just look at somebody next to you for a moment and just say, this isn't our home? Mm-hmm. It's not. This is not our home. We need to remind each other of that often. We need to remind ourselves of that often. Stephen Curtis Chapman's my favorite singer. He's pretty old school, but he has a song that says, we are not home yet. We are not home yet. So keep looking ahead and let our hearts not forget that we are not home yet. So just know that we are not home yet. The second one is this, is we have a taste of home when we are full of the Spirit. Now, Mary Lacy read this up here. Mark quoted it. Adam quoted it. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. But we're talking about, like, as much as and as awesome as you can picture heaven, like, you really don't even have a taste of that yet, right? But did you read today when we put the verse, we'll put this verse up, that there's a verse at the bottom. It says, yeah, you can't comprehend about heaven, but let's go ahead and do the verse, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. If we put it up, it says, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But what? But these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Read that again, just to yourself. Do you see that? We really can't imagine how amazing heaven is, but the Spirit gives us a taste of that. When you give your life to Jesus, when you walk with the Lord, you get a small little taste of heaven. You get to feel what it's like to be home. When I was 13 years old, though everybody but my mother was not a big fan of me giving my life to Jesus, and maybe even tried to say there's other ways and it's not really all that real or true, I had already tasted heaven. Like, I had tasted what it looks like to not need approval. I had tasted what it was like to have a relationship with him, and it was enough. No one could convince me otherwise. Boys and girls, young people, I'll just say this, when Jesus invites you, when you feel like you should have a relationship with him, you're going to get a small taste of what it looks like to know God. And the more and more you walk with him, you get a taste of that, of what heaven will be like. And no one can convince you otherwise. I'll say this, because I don't know if it's still the same way, but when I was a kid, my dad, we would go to my grandmother's house and my uncles, they were master grillers, so they would grill ribs, steak, shrimp, all sorts of other things. I mean, it smelled amazing, right? So here's the deal, kids. They had all that food on one table, the adult table. But I was a kid, so I got to go to the kid table. They had steak and shrimp and hamburgers, and we had hot dogs or peanut butter and jelly, right? I thought at that point, like, I can't wait to be an adult. And just to tell you, being an adult is pretty awesome, right? You get to eat whatever you want, grill whatever you want, stay up as late as you want. Just wait. It's pretty amazing. But don't discourage them, adults. It really is amazing, right? So here's what I wanted to say. It seemed unfair. I would never get a steak. I would never get lobster. I would never get a shrimp. I would never get anything else like that. But every once in a while, I would ask my dad and say, hey, Dad, can I just have a taste? And I would put aside my hot dog, and he would cut off a little bit of his steak and give me a bite of just heaven. I mean, it was amazing. And I knew I wouldn't get the whole thing until I was an adult, but I got a small little taste of what was to come. What this is saying, when no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him, but these things have been revealed to us by his Spirit. Listen, when you start walking with the Lord, you start getting a taste of what heaven is going to be like, a taste of what it looks like to be accepted by him, to walk in relationship with him, and it's amazing, and it is a taste of what is to come. I guess I would just have this thought, if any of us here, we don't find ourselves longing for heaven much, Maybe for us, maybe it's just a dry season in our relationship with him. You're going to go through those. You're not always going to feel like heaven. That's just a part of the Christian walk. And maybe sometimes that goes from weeks to months to even years or even a whole long season. So maybe if you don't long for heaven right now, maybe it's a dry season. Maybe it is that you know about him, but you don't really know him or have a relationship with him. Or maybe we've made ourselves so much at home here that we don't fill ourselves with him anymore. And maybe that's where some of us are here today. And when we get so comfortable here, we don't ever long or desire to taste what's there. And that's where we're implored not to, that we get a taste of the full of the Spirit, but we're supposed to keep our eyes there. So the charge for us all here today is let us remain in him so that we will experience home while we are here. Let us remain in him so that we will experience home while we are here. Like I said, I'm just going to read you guys some of these verses. I'm going to explain them, and then I'll let you guys sit in them, memorize them, meditate on them, and maybe even talk about them either with your roommate or your spouse or your significant other or your family, and let's just see what the Lord wants to say to us. So everybody say, we are not home yet. Everybody say, we have a taste of home. And the third one is this, is we must fix our eyes on home. We must fix our eyes on home. There's a couple different verses that you could go to, actually a lot of them. One of them in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says, let us fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So fixing our eyes on Jesus. This one says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Now, look at that again. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I think, how do we fix our eyes on this if we don't usually think about it? And maybe this is a little bit more about focus. I get to have part of my family here. My little guy Silas is a good listener. Unless like there's something on a TV screen right behind me and I'm trying to tell him some news, and if something like Dude Perfect is on a screen right behind me, and I'm in the way of like him and the TV, I could be giving him instructions to save his life. I could be giving him instructions to give him $1 million. That which is entertaining and satisfying and funny is always going to get the attention. Like, it would be really, really hard for even me if there's a TV and a football game and something else and somebody's trying to tell me something and it's right there. And here's what it is saying. That which is here is so easy. Our eyes just drift towards here, what is seen, what is satisfying, what is entertaining. It says to fix our eyes not on this, which is easy, but to fix our eyes on what is unseen, which is really a matter of focus. Too bad we can't have like a heavenly focus pill to help us in this. Can I ask you just a couple questions? This isn't to belittle or anything. I'm just gonna kind of go into your thinking because I know I would be guilty of several of these, but let's just say hypothetically, you think you're about to get a raise or a bonus, and so you're gonna run into just a little bit of money. What are you thinking that you would use that on? Don't think like super spiritual. Like, just honestly think. Like, you may be thinking, man, I can't wait to have that new bathroom or that new addition, or I can finally have a car that runs, or I could pay off my credit cards, or we could finally go on vacation. Like, what? So some of you in here, you think maybe that's coming, so you've already kind of planned and anticipated, maybe even worked overtime for that. Can you think of it, what it is in your mind? I'm not here to knock that at all. I will say, does your mind ever, as we fix our eyes, as we plan towards eternity, does your mindset ever go, man, if I got an extra $1,000, I would love to invest in that ministry for the inner city kids. Man, I would love if, you know what, if I had a meeting less on that Tuesday, I could actually go and, man, I could start investing. Like, does it ever go towards anything of investment? If not, you don't have to raise your hands. I would be guilty. But as we start training our mind and fixing to not which is temporary, but what is eternal, we need to start thinking and planning towards those things which are. Let me give you another one, Let's just say Jenny Jordan or Josh Clark, they have like a need in fellowship kids or fellowship students, and they come to you and they say, hey, you're so good with kids. Could you please? What's the first thing that goes through your mind? You got two options. Either one, oh man, like I already have a bunch of kids at home. I need a break. Oh, but what about, I mean, it's like sports season. I mean, but like, what about vacation? Like, I kind of want to leave my options open. Like, those are me. Or does it ever go towards, man, you know, some of our kids here, they've never heard Bible stories before, and I'm going to get to teach them. And what if their life changed and their family's life changed, and what would that look like in heaven when we're having a conversation? Like, would you ever start thinking towards investment? And here's the deal. I would tell you, for me, what's guilty of, I'm just trying to have these focus exercises going, I usually think that which is temporary. I don't always think swords are eternal. So what I'm trying to do is sit and think and kind of go, Lord, here's my desires, and turning my and focusing my eyes towards that which is eternal. C.S. Lewis, he quotes, he says, Christians who did the most for this present world were those who thought most of the next. So these heroes of the faith, they left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think about the other world that they've become so ineffective in this one. That's what I want. I just want to move to the plane of going, man, I'm effective here. We're effective here when we start thinking more and more about our home forever. May we fix our eyes on home. So how do we do that? Does anybody have any practical advice for us? Let's ask the question seriously. I mean, we're in an eternity series, but like when the eternity series goes away and it's been 2 months from now and we're just back to daily living, how do we train our minds to think about heaven more and not think about this stuff as much and investing in eternity? Well, the Bible's pretty cool because it actually gives us a way how to do that, even if your heart isn't there right now or your mind isn't there. It's in, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn here to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. But it actually, it gives us a command, but it gives us a promise of how it shifts our minds towards that which it's talking about. So it doesn't leave us just by giving us commands that we can't do. It actually gives us a way of doing this. Matthew 6, 19, it says this. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'll just let you look at that one more time because the goal of all this is that you would read the scriptures and that the Lord would speak to you. So go ahead and read that again yourself if you're able. All right, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Remember I told you about the rent house? Maybe how foolish it would have been if I would have had any extra money and I like painted the walls and I put like murals and I did all sorts of things, right? And I made all my money and all my investment in that of which I'm moving out of in a month. It would be so much better to invest in that which is lasting. And it's saying don't store up treasures here on earth, but store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. But listen, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know if for you, I always got this backwards when I was younger. I would say where your heart is, there your treasure will be, right? My wife, if her heart is on shopping, I mean, that's where the treasure's going, right? Some of you, you love hunting, right? Your heart's there. That's where the money goes. That's where the time goes. Where you're passionate, you just go ahead and spend resources on there. Did Jesus get it wrong or backwards? He's teaching something different. And as the creator, we need to listen in. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's what I'm saying. For anybody here, and maybe we think about heaven and eternity a lot less than we should, here's what he's saying. Invest in heaven, and your heart will follow. Invest in heaven, and your heart will follow. It's a promise. So for some of us right now, and that's not really the heartbeat of our heart, start investing in heaven and your heart will follow. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what does that look like maybe? For some of us, it would mean to start with a tithe. That's since Genesis chapter 4. It's just what God has asked us. It's giving 10% of our money, which is really hard, but he owns it all anyway, so you give back 10% of him, saying you trust him with it. You give that. That's an investment, and you know what? Your heart starts to follow. For a good number of people here, man, that's you've been doing that for a long time joyfully. Some of us in here, some of you guys encourage us, the things that we hear of, but some of you have an extra vehicle and are praying how to get rid of it. Some of you kids have gone off to college and you're like renovating rooms so that guests can come and other people can use, because you're saying it's not like wanting to give away even your home and your cars and your talents. Some of you have stuff and you're like, I have two of these, why? And you're just looking to give them away. Some of you have had open nights. I'm so encouraged by some of our ladies. They get to be the female or the mom that some young girls at Henderson have never had. That they get to go and spend an hour every week mentoring these young ladies. Now it's been opened up where we have fellas who are gonna need to be mentored. My backyard is against the guy who, I share backyards with a guy who's the coach at Central. And I just said, man, how could we ever serve you guys, Central basketball? And he goes, man, some of our guys, they need just a male role model who would help tutor them and mentor them, right? But here's what I'm saying. For some of you in this room, you're already kind of doing some things, right? You're just dreaming and looking, and you get extra time, you want to invest it. You have extra money, you want to invest it. So for some of you in this room, I just want to say, like, you are inspiring us. Anytime you get something extra, you're just looking, how can you give it? And as you do that, your heart is more focused on heaven than for those who just keep it all to themselves. For where your treasure is, there your what? Heart will be also. So for some of us in this room have been investing for a long time. Keep on going. Keep on going. The principle is this, is when you invest in home, you naturally begin thinking about it more. When you invest in home, you naturally begin thinking about it more. So church, let us store up treasures in heaven. Let us fix our eyes on home. Let us realize that we're not home yet, yet we have a taste of it. Those are the scriptures here today. So can I give you, before we get a little taste of heaven at a potluck, can I give you just a little homework? I would ask that anybody here, that you would take these and write them on an index card, those four scriptures that I gave you. Would you at least meditate on them? Although they're not all that hard if you also wanted to try memorizing them, but meditate on them. The four verses that are on your outline, Hebrews 13, 14, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, 2 Corinthians 4, 18, and 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. If you'll for sure meditate on them, if not memorize them. But here's what I want you to do. I have a couple questions. If you're a single, if you're a young professional, it may just be for you. It may be for you and the people who live in your home or who people in your D group. If you're a family, you can talk about this with your kids, with your spouse. But here are the questions. How are you currently investing in home? It's the first one. Can I say something, parents? This would be real easy if you're not doing that. And when I say home, I mean heaven. How are you currently investing in heaven? This would be real easy if this hasn't been your practice to kind of gloss over that a little bit. It's a great time to just go, you know what, kids? We haven't really been thinking about this all that much, but we're going to start, right? Just to be honest in a family conversation, how are you currently investing in our home, like eternity? And then the second one is this, is what are a few ways that you can begin investing more? What I would hope is sometime you would, as a couple, as a family, with your kids, in your home, you would look at these couple questions after meditating and just kind of go, how are we investing? And then how can we invest more? I can't be the Holy Spirit for you. I can't tell you how to do these things. I'm just saying this. You want to be free from coveting, free from not being satisfied, free from being so stuck in this world. It's through investing in the life that is to come. That's what God calls us to. So, that's what I want to leave with today. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you call us to yourself and that one day we get to be home with you forever. God, I just pray that, God, I pray that you would show us what it looks like to fix our eyes on you, to invest in you, in your kingdom, and that that we would simply, you would open our ears and open our hearts to do whatever you called us to. God, thank you for the men and the women here who invest sacrificially, that like the people in the Bible, they've given up all. Whenever they get, they always look to invest that in others. Lord, thank you. I pray that you continue to fill them up. You would continue to let them be the practice for all of us. God, I pray, Father, that you would, from the smallest child to the person who feels farthest from you, God, I pray, Father, that you would begin to let us thinking about you, King Jesus. Would you speak to us through your word? And those things today, we pray that they would not return void, but you would let us be investors in the kingdom forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.